Thanks so much for calling Woodlawn Health. While you're waiting to be connected, please enjoy a sample of our podcast with Kyle Summers, occupational health nurse practitioner.
So to start out with what carpal tunnel is, at the base of your palm and your wrist, that intersection, parallel, you have a carpal ligament that runs across. And through that, you have a median nerve. When that ligament gets irritated from repetitive movements, it can swell and get inflamed, and that will pinch that nerve, leaving you to have symptoms of pain or tingling, loss of sensation in your hand and through like the thumb, index finger, middle finger, ring finger, and causes that feeling like your hand's gone to sleep.
Well, you mentioned the carpal ligament for which it's named. I learned something there already. I thought maybe the name came from a Mr. or Mrs. Carpal that was the first victim way back centuries ago.
Nope, we've got so many intricate parts to the hand.
Thank you so much for holding. Someone will be with you soon. And while you wait, please enjoy a sample of our Doc Talk podcast with Dr. Witt.
Well, it's challenging because you're right. I think especially in large urban communities, people can be seen more like numbers. But the challenge we have in rural areas is that we service larger geographic areas. So we have large patient volumes, but fewer providers. So we still have large amounts of patients that we have to get through the door every day. But being in a smaller community where we're often going to be running into our patients when we're out in public, we need to find a way to, in a short time window, build a really strong connection with them. In an urban setting, there might not be that need to really try and connect with your patients because you're likely never going to run into them in a large city. But being in Plymouth, where I am running into my patients all the time, I need to make sure that in that 10, 15, 20 minute window, not only are we covering their medical conditions and problems, that we are also forming a good long-term relationship. And that doesn't happen in one or two visits. It takes a few years before you really feel like you truly know that patient. So it's not a short-term process, but as long as from the very first visit, both sides are trying to work towards a long-term relationship, it works well.
Listen in as Dr. Rindlisbacher, podiatrist, shares tips for those with diabetes.
So early on with diabetes, your signs and symptoms are going to be very mild. You probably won't even notice much of a change, but you'll start to notice over time dryness in the legs and the feet. And then from there, you'll get numbness and tingling. And those are kind of those early signs that you probably have something happening with your diabetes.
The problem is if you're already becoming numb, you may not realize that you already have lost some feeling. So what should those with diabetes do daily to care for their feet?
So the most important thing with diabetes is not even something that I do, but it's controlling your blood sugars. And so making sure that you're seeing a physician regularly, checking on your blood sugars, getting those annual exams is vital, because controlling those blood sugars is going to stop any progression of that diabetes. But if you have had diabetes or just diagnosed with diabetes, you should be checking your feet every day. You basically can't trust yourself anymore. You can't trust those feelings that you have had your entire life that you think you can feel your feet like you did when you were 15.
Sorry for your wait. Our team will be with you very soon. While you wait, please listen to Dr. Amati on Woodlawn's Maternity Oasis.
I'm really proud of Woodlawn in terms of they are one of the few hospitals, rural hospitals around, that still offer obstetrics. Okay, like it's sad. The reality is a lot of the rural hospitals are closing down just the obstetrics department for whatever reason, but Woodlawn has chosen to keep theirs open. And they have this saying that they are the obstetrics oasis in this part of Indiana. So that was actually the big drive for me to come to Woodlawn. So I love that they offer obstetrics care in a place where it's harder for women to find a place where they can give birth safely.
Thank you so much for calling Woodlawn. We apologize for your wait. Please listen to Dr. Rindlisbacher, podiatrist, as part of our Doc Talk podcast, streaming wherever you get your podcast.
So plantar fasciitis is caused by a number of things. Most commonly, it actually ends up being like a breakdown in shoe wear. People who have been walking same shoes, not replacing them over time, ends up being the number one cause of having issues with plantar fasciitis.
Wow. I really wouldn't have guessed that. I would have guessed it was overextending while running and things like that. What symptoms would make us lay people aware that we may have plantar fasciitis?
The number one is that first step out of bed in the morning. You stand up and you just feel almost like a hot poker going in your heel. You take the first few steps or limping. And then from there, you know, it tends to calm down through the day. Still can be very irritating, but that's what you're looking for plantar fasciitis.
Thank you so much for calling Woodlawn. We'll be with you soon. While you wait, please listen to Dr. Hawk talk about what you should know for colonoscopies.
Sure. Now, this is a very important point you made. You mentioned that point a few minutes ago when you said that, you know, the prep should not discourage folks from colonoscopy. And I was thinking of making this point. You know, the incidence of colon cancer is on the rise, particularly among younger people. And then the more aggressive type of colon cancer is also on the rise. So the recommendation to have your first screening colonoscopy is no longer 50, it's now 45. That means a completely asymptomatic person off the walk of life should seek colonoscopy at 45, not 50. Then this is a person with no family history or any kind of genetic predisposition to colon cancer. It gets a bit more complicated if a patient has family history or any genetic propensity for colon cancer. Without getting into too much details, if they have any such thing, they should report to their primary care physician, and I'm also available. We have a number of doctors here who do colonoscopies, and they can present, and we will give them the appropriate suggestion.
That's perfect. Yeah, as you say, family history, genetics, it's not just an age thing. It seems like it used to be just once you hit 50, have your colonoscopy. Now the other factors, as you say, genetics, family history, and some other things. So great stuff today. Really educational. Thanks so much. You stay well.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate your time.
That was General Surgeon Dr. Manzer Hawk with Woodlawn Health. For more information, please visit woodlawnhospital.org. That's woodlawnhospital.org. And if you found this podcast helpful, please share it on social media. I'm Scott Webb. Thanks for listening to Woodlawn Health Doc Talk, a podcast from Woodlawn Health.